Elder L. Tom Perry is a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He served the church in many positions, including as assistant to the 12, stake president, high counselor, a counselor in a stake presidency, counselor in a bishopric, and a missionary in the Northern States Mission. Elder Perry served for 2 years with the Marines in the Pacific. Following that service, he received a bachelor's degree in finance and did graduate work at Utah State University. He worked in the retail business, where he served as vice president and treasurer in companies located in Idaho, California, New York, and Massachusetts. Elder Perry married Virginia Lee in the Logan Temple in 1947. They have 3 children. Virginia passed away on December 14, 1974, and Elder Perry later married Barbara Taylor Dayton in the Salt Lake Temple in 1976.
So it's another new year. I have a strong feeling that 2012 will be a great year for all of us. It could be one of the most exciting years the church has ever experienced. It's 182 years of history. It could also be a year of new challenges, as the church will likely be subject to increased attention and public scrutiny. Are we prepared to take on the challenges of a new year that will bring each of us, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, new challenges? As we drove up to the campus today, Barbara and I passed through the beautiful Rexburg Temple. Perhaps a few of you in this congregation were here when the temple was dedicated nearly 4 years ago. May I ask each of you who were here at that time, recall the spirit you felt at the time of the temple open house. There was a unique spirit which always has us feel different as we enter the holy temple. There is something of a wide difference, a gulf of misunderstanding between the ways we experience the church from the inside and the way others look at it from the outside. This is the principal reason we hold open houses for temple dedications. The members volunteer at temple open houses are simply trying to help each other see the church as they see it from the inside. They recognize the church is a marvelous work, even a wonder, and they want others to know it too. Joseph Smith wrote his personal history to disabuse the public mind and put all inquirers after truth in possession of the facts. The growing visibility and reputation of the church presents a remarkable opportunity for us as its members. We can help disabuse the public mind and correct misinformation that we are portrayed as something we are not. More importantly, though, we can share who we are. There are a number of things that we can do, that you can do, to advance an understanding of the church. If we do it with the same spirit and conduct ourselves the same way as we did when we hosted a temple open house, our friends and the neighbors will come to understand us better. Their suspicions will evaporate. Negative stereotypes will disappear. And they will begin to understand the church as it really is. Today I would like to issue a challenge to you, the future graduates of BYU Idaho. Prepare yourselves now to take advantage of the significant opportunities the new year will bring to all members of the church. Demonstrate by the way you say and the way you live the life of our Lord and Savior. If we ponder the eternities for just a moment, we recognize that none of us are here now by happenstance. Our mortal test is designed in such a way that we do not recall the great council in heaven when our Heavenly Father's purpose and plan were first presented and revealed to us. Still, those with eyes that see and ears that hear and see about events foretold by prophets on an increasingly frequent basis. None of us know when the Savior will come again, but I'm quite certain that you sense, as I do, an unmistakable acceleration in the fulfillment of prophecies. Each of us must prepare now to play his or her foreordained part as the final pieces of our Heavenly Father's plan comes together in this, the dispensation of the fullness of times. It will require of us much, because much has been given to us. But no one who is prepared should fear, for we are promised, if ye are prepared, ye shall not fear. Today, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is truly a worldwide church. Nevertheless, it is important for all of us to realize that the church could never become of what it is today without the great birth of a special nation, the United States of America. The Lord prepared the new land to attract the people of the world who sought liberty and religious freedom. The new land was blessed with strong leaders who felt duty-bound to establish a government that would allow individuals to worship according to their own conscience. The Founding Fathers believed that religious faith was fundamental to the establishment of a strong government. Many Americans have forgotten the central importance of religious belief in the foundation of policies, laws, and rules of government. Many of our fellow citizens do not recognize that the founders believed the role of religion would be as important in our day as it was in their day. The founders did not consider religion and morality as an intellectual exercise. They forcefully declared it is an essential ingredient of good government and for the happiness of mankind. This is the position that was set forth by President George Washington in his farewell address. He said, of all of the disposition and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And let us with caution indulge in the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. The reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail to the exclusion of religious principles. It is substantially true that virtue and morality is a necessary spring of popular government. The United States of America is a promised land, foretold in the Book of Mormon, a place where divine guidance directs and inspires men to create conditions necessary for the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the birth of the United States that ushered out the great apostasy, when the earth was darkened by the absence of prophets with revealed light. It is by no consequence that on a lovely morning, the first vision occurred shortly after the establishment of this great nation. The first vision precipitated a flood of revealed truth. A knowledge was restored of the nature of the Godhood. A new scripture translated that gives us a second witness of the testimony of Jesus Christ. The restoration of the priesthood re-endowed mankind with a power and authority to act for on behalf of God in conducting priesthood ordinances and establishing the Church of Jesus Christ again on the earth. Again, we are blessed to be members of a worldwide church that was organized 182 years ago in Fayette, New York. At that moment of time, the church only had 6 members. Of course, today we're over and almost 15 million strong and growing, as Alma taught his son Helaman, that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. It was in October of 1976, nearly 40 years ago, I was called by President Harold B. Lee to be a general authority. 20 years earlier, President Lee, then a member of the Council of the Twelve, ordained me a high priest. I had infrequent contact with President Lee between these two important events in my life, but I was always attentive to the lessons he taught at General Conference. President Lee had a beautiful, clear understanding of priorities. He once said, "Much of what we do organizationally is scaffolding as we seek to build the individual, and we must not mistake the scaffolding for the soul." President Lee was not minimizing the role of the church in the salvation of men, women, and families. What he did teach powerfully was that the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ is individuals and families, and the church functions as a support system for those individuals and families. Most of you are at a wonderful and confusing time in your life when you're selecting the plans or building your family and your professional lives. The decisions you make at the beginning of your adult lives are clearly the most important decisions of your life because they'll shape everything that comes after. In the rest of the time here today, I want to explore with you how the Church of Jesus Christ can provide a scaffolding as you engage in these, your two most important building projects. President Harold B. Lee also said, "The church is a scaffolding on which we build eternal families. I belong to a branch of the Wing family tree. Members of the Wing family lived in the oldest home built in New England that has stayed in the same family organization. It was called the Old Fort House. It was the home of Stephen Wing and his family after they arrived in this country in 1635. The nucleus of the home was constructed for protection. Its walls were 2 feet thick, made of hewn oak trunks, driven into the ground to form a typical construction of a New England garrison. There were two separate walls and a space between filled with sandstone for the protection against the arrows and bullets of the Indians. The fort was the center of their home. As the Wing family grew, it added onto the sides of the original fort house. But the fort remained for their protection and their safe haven. Perhaps each of us should consider building a structure for our spiritual security, free from the influences of the world. Places where we can protect and also teach family members how to meet the challenges of the world that are always threatening our core values. I prefer to be optimistic, so I continue to hope for positive change in the world. But I'm also a realist, so I form a contingency plan in case positive changes don't come. My contingency plan for spiritual security must account for all the contents of both good and evil that is being pushed through the various media today. Where do I look to learn about how to build such a contingency plan for the spiritual security of my family? I look to the church, the scaffold with which I build an eternal family. There are two principal reasons why I appreciate President Lee's metaphor of the church as a scaffold for eternal families. First, it helps me understand what the church is. And second, equally as important, I understand what the church is not. The church as scaffolding is perhaps best represented by the statement the prophet Joseph Smith made as his role as leader of the church. He said, "I teach them correct principles, and they govern themselves." Eternal principles are the scaffolding the church provides. These eternal principles are embedded in the doctrines of the kingdom of our eternal Father and reflect his eternal plan of happiness. We meet as members of the church to teach and learn from each other the principles of righteousness and receive saving ordinances, so the scaffolding is stable and steady as we build our eternal family units. Notice the church is not meant to do the work of parents. It guides the work of parents. The church offers eternal form as builders of eternal families. We are reassured by promises that if we build according to this eternal form, our efforts can provide a safety and protection. We seek for those we love the most. My young friends, our challenge is to use the church as scaffolding to build a family that is spiritually strong or stronger than the old fort house was physically strong. How is this done? I believe one way is by family traditions. They're like the hewn oak tree trunks driven into the ground to build the old fort house. Make the honoring of family traditions the development of new ones throughout your life. Holiday traditions, birthday traditions, Sunday traditions, dinner time traditions. Honor them. Write them down and make certain you follow them. Studies show that the reason young people join gangs is for the tradition and ritual of belonging something to larger than self. That is what a family should be. Be certain you are creating a rich environment for your family to look forward to in these special times of the year when traditions hold you together as a great eternal family unit. Please understand, this is neither a simple nor an easy solution. Just as Rome was not built in a day, neither are family traditions. Family traditions can best offer the basic and lasting support where there's a lot and a must be built around them. Perhaps the family traditions can only work when we create a role for every member of the family, and there's a united effort to build them. This means that family members need to spend time together and also learn how to work together. When it comes to families, there's no such thing as quality time without a certain amount of quantity time. When you consider your future employment, an important consideration is how much time it will demand of you each day. Is it one that will keep you working 14 hours a day and establish a consistent pattern of arriving home after the children are in bed? I'm not suggesting such employment opportunities are out of bounds, but if you choose them, you must find certain ways to create a connection to your family. The scaffolding of the church will help remind you of these eternal priorities. For my career, I selected the retail business. Our stores were open 6 days a week, from 10 in the morning to 10 at night. My normal work day was at least 10 hours, sometimes 12 to 15. I had to be very careful of the time I had for my children. And I believe the church, as scaffolding, continually reminded me of my eternal priorities. For example, I involved my children in part-time jobs at the store. My oldest daughter used to come in and update sales figures so that my reports were always current and I could always use year-to-year comparisons. It was a big job before the electronic spreadsheets. All figures had to be entered by hand. I had my son work in accounts payable during the summer. This gave us an opportunity to see each other during the day and to have lunch together several times each week. I taught my youngest daughter how to run the cash register so she could be a part-time cashier, again giving me an opportunity to spend precious time with her. In all cases, the best time together was during the daily commute to and from work. This was precious one-on-one time with each of my children. The church's scaffolding can also be for our professional lives. In addition to our family lives, I believe the church can provide that scaffolding necessary as we enter our professional fields. Please remember that when you graduate and leave this great institution, you are marked for life, both as a graduate of BYU Idaho and as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In effect, You leave here as a representative of Jesus Christ and his church. In this respect, being as good as someone else from another university or belonging to another church is not good enough for you. President George Albert Smith taught us a lesson by saying that you've already been taught this year in Priesthood and Relief Society. President Smith said this, "Within the last year, I have had the privilege of meeting and conversing on the gospel with some of the men who live in the in this community, not members of the church. One man had resided here for 20 years, a man whose life was above reproach, a good citizen, a pleasant businessman, one who was kind in his feelings towards our people. He told me that he had lived here 20 years, and he'd come to the conclusion that we were just as good as our neighbors who were members of other churches. He could not see any difference in us." And President Smith said, "I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, that was no compliment to me. If the gospel of Jesus Christ does not make me a better man, then I have not developed as I should. And if our neighbors not in this church can live among us from year to year and see no evidence of the benefit that comes from keeping the commandments of God in our lives, then there is a need for reformation in Israel. Are you doing your duty? Are you performing the labors that the Lord has entrusted to your care? Do you sense the responsibility that is upon us? Are you idly floating downstream, going with the tide, taking it for granted that in the last days we'll be redeemed? A member of the church who is worthy of a temple recommend should always stand out in whatever professional circles he or she belongs. My advice to you is to dare to be different. Never worry about offending others by living up to the standards of the church. I promise you that living up to a temple recommend standard will bless and never hurt you in any situation in which you might find yourself. Let me give you a personal example. Again, my business career was in the retail, a retail executive. As such, I was required to attend trade association meetings, business clubs, chamber of commerce meetings, etc., etc., etc. They always started with a cocktail hour. I was always uncomfortable in the setting. Nearly everyone would be holding an alcoholic beverage in their hand as we mingled together. I asked myself, what could I hold in my hand, representing my standards and the standards of my church? I realized that if I did not hold a glass in my hand, someone would always be wanting to buy me a drink. I first tried 7-Up, but I looked around and it had the bubbly look of alcoholic drinks. Finally, I decided to walk over to the bartender and request a glass of milk. I thought he was hard of hearing, because he made me repeat the request 3 times. The third time was loud enough so that everyone could hear. After fumbling around for a few minutes, the bartender finally handed me a glass of milk. Can you imagine the ribbing I received as I mingled with the rest that evening? But I knew my standards, and I was not undeterred. The next month, same meeting, I ordered my milk. From then on, the bartender always had a glass of milk for me. Then a funny thing started to happen. At future meetings, more people started ordering milk and drinking it with me. They confided in me that their wives did not like them drinking because it might impair their driving as they returned home. Instead of feeling awkward during cocktail hours, I soon became the center of conversation. It helped me meet more people and fulfill the purpose to which I was gathering. I learned the important lesson from this experience. If I keep my promises to the Lord, He will always keep His promises to me. He would always fulfill His end of the bargain, and much, much more if I fulfilled mine. As I read and watch the news, each day. I am shocked at the difficulties we have created for ourselves. As times of conditions have changed and become more complex, there seems to be fewer and fewer individuals capable of shouldering the responsibility of leading a positive change. I wish to issue a challenge to you who are the leaders of the future to recognize the world is changing very rapidly. There is an urgent need for leaders capable and bold enough to take on the immense challenges that we face today. The moral foundation of the strong Judeo-Christian tradition appears to be eroding in the United States. This tradition was based on justice, compassion, and respect for the human dignity. It was not based on laws and regulations, but on the light of Christ in every good and decent American. It was something that was part of the character of most men and women of the country, that was one nation under God. While a number of the citizens who subscribe to these beliefs and values is dwindling, you and I must remain true. I believe that more than anything else, this is because the church is the scaffolding for both our families and for our professional lives. I know a little about scaffolding, because over my lifetime I've been involved in building many chapels in different communities of this great country, also on the Isle of the Pacific and in Nagasaki, Japan. I know scaffolding allows me to reach heights that I could not reach otherwise, and to do it and to things that I could not reach otherwise. One must also need to be careful of scaffolding, because it's easy to fall off and injure oneself. Still, if we stay firmly in the center of the scaffolding of the church, we remain safe and protected. You are the generation the Lord has saved for this day. You, like all baptized members of the church, have taken upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ. You have covenanted with Him to represent Him. By representing Jesus Christ, you can help many of your brothers and sisters remember their Judeo-Christian traditions by reflecting on the light of Christ in your lives. You and I must be bold in our declaration of the divinity of Jesus Christ. We want others to know that we believe He is the central figure in all history. His life and His teachings are the heart of the Bible and the other books we consider to be holy scriptures. The Old Testament set the stage for Christ's mortal ministry. The New Testament describes His mortal ministry. The Book of Mormon gives us a second witness of His mortal ministry. He came to earth to declare His gospel as a foundation for all mankind, so that all of God's children could learn about Him and His teachings. He then gave His life in order to be our Savior and Redeemer. Only through Jesus Christ is salvation possible. This is why we believe He is the central figure in all human history. Our eternal destiny is always in His hands. It is a glorious thing to believe in Him and accept Him as our Lord and Savior and our Master. May the Lord bless you, my very special young brothers and sisters. You are blessed with a royal heritage. You are part of this very wonderful school, which has been dedicated to preparing bright minds to go forward and bring forth positive change in a very troubled world. You reflect the light of Christ. Please remember that all the scaffolding the church has done and is doing, and see what it can do for your family and for your professional lives. It is not any other church. It is the restored church of Jesus Christ. Of this I humbly testify in His holy name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.